This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Taliban talks are dead. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koshenka, on this Tuesday, September 10. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Trump says negotiations about withdrawing American soldiers from Afghanistan are over as the U.S. military ramps up operations.
The U.S. Coast Guard has rescued the four people trapped on an overturned cargo ship off the coast of Georgia.
North Korea fired two unidentified projectiles into the East Sea earlier today, hours after Pyongyang offered to restart nuke talks with the U.S.
And from the campaign trail, why rivals of presidential candidate Joe Biden are anticipating his demise.
You have, I think, day after day of undercurrent, I guess, of just a feeling that he can't go wire to wire and that at some point it's got to fade off.
David Siders at Politico on Mr. Biden's rivals planning for his collapse. His report in about 25 minutes. President Trump has declared that talks with Afghanistan's Taliban leaders are dead. His comments came yesterday after Mr. Trump ended talks with the militant group planned for Camp David over the weekend after an American soldier was killed by a suicide bomber on Thursday, along with 11 others. The president was hoping to finish months of U.S. negotiations with the Taliban, who control large parts of Afghanistan, with a secret meeting at the presidential retreat in Maryland.
We're talking to the government. We're talking to a lot of different people. And we'll see. But I canceled Camp David on the basis that they did something that they sure as hell shouldn't have done.
That meeting was to include Afghan President Ashraf Ghani and was aimed at securing an agreement to pull U.S. troops out of America's longest war of 18 years. A draft accord last week would have seen about 5,000 American troops withdrawn over the coming months in exchange for guarantees that Afghanistan would not be used as a base for militant attacks on the United States or its allies. The death toll from Hurricane Dorian in the Bahamas has now reached 50. Health Minister Duane Sands says thousands of people remain missing and relief efforts were underway on the battered islands. Rescue workers were going door to door and U.S. Coast Guard helicopters were evacuating critically injured residents. A Bahamas cruise ship ferried more than 1,100 residents to the United States, and Customs and Border Protection delivered food and water by helicopter. President Trump yesterday, though, dismissed the idea of allowing Bahamians into the U.S. after the storm, not long after the acting CBP chief said it was worth considering.
I don't want to allow people that weren't supposed to be in the Bahamas to come into the United States, including some very bad people and some very bad gang members and some very, very bad drug dealers.
The slow-moving Category 5 storm had 185-mile-an-hour maximum sustained winds, gusts that topped 200 miles an hour, and a storm surge that reached nearly 24 feet. President Trump was in North Carolina last evening to drum up support for a congressional candidate in a special election that both parties see as a referendum on the White House and a bellwether for 2020.
Together we will lift millions more from our horrible, horrible situations that have developed over the years. Look at what's happening to Democrat-run cities, every single one of them.
This is a do-over election today for the 9th congressional district based in Charlotte. Meanwhile, President Trump has hosted more than 550 ticketed campaign events since 2015, at least 70% of which include his trademark rallies. It's not uncommon to find supporters at these events who've attended dozens of them. Michael Bender, White House reporter at the Wall Street Journal, spoke with some about why they keep coming back. Mike, what are you hearing?
I came across some of these folks for the first time at the Orlando rally back in June when Trump kicked off his campaign, and was pretty surprised to find people who had been to 30, 40, 50 rallies, which I have to say as an aside here, I think I fall into that category, having covered the Trump campaign and the first part of his presidency here, which was also a little disorienting for me. I really wanted to figure out and find out why folks kept coming back to these rallies, which we've written a lot about in the media, about Trump has, they're sort of the same show every time. He's still attacking Clinton. He's still talking about election night. So a lot of the same applause lines, but people keep coming back and to hear it again and again. And I kind of wanted to find out what the draw was, what it was about these people that made them want to come back, and figure out kind of who they were.
For the ones who've attended dozens of these Trump rallies, I mean, who are they? How do they afford to do this, or how do they have the time, or are they retired?
Yeah, that's one of the common themes here is they are generally folks who do have time on their hands and not a lot keeping them tied to home. It's a lot of folks who are recent retirees, the folks who are who don't have kids, never had kids. Some are estranged from their families, so you know some of the normal things that would keep people close to home, these people are free from. And then when it comes to as far as money, like, they're not rich. A lot of folks are, like I said, the recent retirees, so have a little bit of retirement income, but there are a handful of folks around, you know, disability for one reason or another, or, you know, sort of paycheck to paycheck by cutting lawns or doing odd jobs or working at Walmart. One interesting detail I didn't include in the story, but there was a woman who uses an app to find jobs in whatever city she's going to, you know, a restaurant that needs 10 hours clearing tables or an auto dealership that needs someone for 5 hours to clean cars, and kind of picks up money along the way.
Wow.
And they share hotel rooms and save some cash that way too.
They share hotel rooms with strangers?
Well, you know, it's become a little bit of a community here.
Wow.
You know, there were strangers 4 years ago, but now these are their friends. So a rally gets announced, and they have 2 weeks to get there, which actually prices them out of airplane tickets a lot, like a lot of Americans would be with that kind of short notice.
Yeah, yeah.
So they figure out how to carpool, and they know each other, so they do share hotel rooms. And sometimes it'll be a hotel room to, you know, if it was you and me sharing a hotel room, I would stay in a hotel room in Napa while you were keeping our place in line.
Oh.
And then I'd come and switch with you, and you'd go and take a nap. And so they have a little system down.
How about that? We're speaking with Michael Bender, Wall Street Journal White House reporter. His piece is called On the Road with Trump's Rally Diehards. And he's spoken to many of them who've been to 30, 40, even 50 rallies. Is this a thing where they go and they're, into selfies and, I don't know, collectibles, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole sort of paraphernalia piece of it. They come, dressed just for the show, if you will. And it's something that they just identify with. There's a lot of folks here who were, you know, among the first in the country, really, to identify the resonance of Trump's political appeal. So they're kind of reveling in that victory still, just like he is. And, you know, that's it's emboldened them in different ways in their lives. And part of the reason why they want to keep coming back, because they really do feel an ownership for this and an investment in this political movement.
Thanks, Mike. Michael Bender, White House reporter at The Wall Street Journal. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppe's, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for joining us. The U.S. Coast Guard has rescued all four trapped crew members from a capsized cargo ship off the coast of Georgia. The vessel overturned Sunday in St. Simon's Sound. Coast Guard Captain John Reed said responders had plucked three South Korean crew members from a room in the hull near the ship's propeller and later removed the last one, who was trapped behind glass in the engineering compartment. At least two of the men were extracted from a hole drilled in the hull of the Golden Ray, a 650-foot ship with 4,000 cars on board.
There was just a system of tapping where they would do three or four taps or more, and eventually they got tap backs. It's more important that the crew knew where to go so they could touch the steel on the outside of the ship to make those taps.
The men were said to be in relatively good condition for having spent over 30 hours trapped. Coast Guard confirmed it had rescued a fourth crew member from the capsized Golden Ray cargo ship yesterday. The Coast Guard will now shift its focus toward removing the ship with minimal environmental impact. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to Hurricane Dorian's death toll in the Bahamas has climbed to at least 50 as more deaths were reported from the storm that plowed through the country last week. Thousands of people remain missing and relief efforts are underway on the battered islands. President Trump yesterday dismissed the idea of allowing Bahamians into the U.S. after the storm.
Large sections, believe it or not, of the Bahamas were not hit. And what we're doing is bringing the people to those sections of the Bahamas that have not been hit.
In the northern islands, the storm's devastation is evident in wrecked boats, flattened homes, and downed power lines. The American Medical Association is urging people to stop using electronic cigarettes of any sort until scientists have a better handle on the cause of 450 lung illnesses and at least 5 deaths related to the use of the products. The AMA, one of the nation's most influential physician groups, also called on doctors to inform patients about the dangers of e-cigarettes, including toxins and carcinogens. U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams says vaping has eliminated progress in getting kids to stop using tobacco products.
We've seen those gains erased among youth as the result of an introduction of new tobacco products into the marketplace, most notably e-cigarettes.
The CDC last week said people should consider not using e-cigarette products while it investigates the cause of the spate of severe lung illnesses associated with vaping. A Trump administration initiative to curb asylum claims by a Central American seeking entry into the U.S. has been thwarted by a California federal judge who restored a nationwide injunction that blocks the restrictions from being enforced. The judge says blocking the rules was the only practical way to proceed while the asylum restrictions are challenged in court. The judge previously ruled that the restrictions are likely unlawful. Batting legend David Ortiz threw out the ceremonial first pitch before last night's Boston Red Sox game against the New York Yankees at Fenway Park. It was Ortiz's first public appearance since being shot 3 months ago in his native Dominican Republic.
I want to thank God for giving me a second opportunity in my life to be able to be here with all of you.
The Red Sox failed to win for Ortiz, going down 5-0.
A favorite son in Boston.
Absolutely.
For sure. Big
yes.
Poppy. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Time now for a business update, and it's brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. The businesses of the future are being built today, and Michigan is where they start. Learn more by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity. It's becoming more and more common. You grab a sandwich for lunch, then you tap your phone or hand over your credit card because paying with cash is no longer an option. But several cities and states have passed or are considering bills that prohibit retailers from refusing to accept cash. More from Charisse Jones, national business correspondent at USA Today. Charisse, who are these laws for?
It's for the unbanked and the underbanked, and there, again, are millions of people that fall into that category. About 6.5% of households in the U.S. are unbanked. They don't have an account, or maybe they're lacking photo ID, and so they don't have access to a credit card or a debit card. But there are also a lot of people who are getting concerned about privacy, and they've seen these big data breaches with Equifax and different banks and different companies, and they worry about, A, the government or some company being able to track every payment that they make, and then they worry about their data being breached if there's a problem. And so for both of those reasons, you have a lot of folks who are pushing back on the requirement that you can't go to dig in and buy lunch or do certain things unless you have a credit or a debit card.
Yeah. All right. So I guess part of the sticky issue here is that in some ways, businesses may feel that they're being told how to operate. Is that part of this situation?
Oh, yeah. I spoke to a guy who owns a chain of or collection of roasted coffee shops in New Jersey. And he went cashless because he found that like 80% of the transactions are being done with a credit or debit card anyway. And it was a lot easier on his business to not have to deal with the cash. But he still allowed people to use dollars and cents if they wanted to. And basically, he just told the baristas, you know, take their money, put it in your pocket, and use your own personal card to finish the transaction.
Oh,
so he
wow.
was already trying to accommodate folks. But then it turned around and the New Jersey passed this law that says, nope, you can't take cash. You can't refuse to take cash, period. And so now he's doing it again, but he says, you know, he really resents being told by the government, you know, how he accepts payment for his services. He feels that it's kind of anti-democratic and even un-American.
Wow. We're speaking with Therese Jones. He's about how many businesses now are trying to go cash-free, but some cities are saying, no, you can't do that. There are too many unbanked folks. I read one time, and it may have been one of your stories, about how cash counting actually can be very time-consuming for businesses, say, at the end of the day.
It is. It's, you know, it's laborious. You've got the people who work in the store that have to reconcile the receipts to the cash in the drawer. You have to worry about security. You might need a courier to come and pick the money up to make sure it gets transported to the bank. Or you have to go as the owner to each of your locations to pick up the money and transport it, which can be dangerous. I mean, it can set you up for being robbed. If you go to a restaurant and you can just use your card, you know, they swipe you and you're out in a couple of seconds. If they're making change, it slows the line down, it takes more time, and we know that people are very impatient. They want to get what they need and get going. And so there's certainly a lot of reasons why people feel that being cashless is the way to go, even if it has potentially discriminatory effect on some customers.
Thanks, Therese. Therese Jones, National Business Correspondent at USA Today. 30 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News.
I've been around a long time, seeing a lot of gadgets show up that are supposed to make my job easier. Digital screwdrivers, hammer 2.0, the new improved nail, now with more pointiness. You know what really makes my job easier? Grainger. Easy reordering, easy inventory solutions, and easy to do business with every time. Gadgets come and go. You want reliability. You want Grainger. Call, clickgrainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This human resources professional is a rock star thanks to Kronos. And this is her hype song.
I'm the spark before the fire. I'm the power in the train. I
have HR, payroll, talent, and time.
I'm the dream and you should know that.
Now we're engaging all the best people.
Kronos, HR solutions for the modern workforce and the people who support them. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday, September 10. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Trump says Taliban talks are dead. The death toll in the Bahamas from Hurricane Dorian is now 50. Fourth and final crew member rescued from a cargo ship off Georgia. The American Medical Association, the latest group to warn about the use of e-cigarettes right now. New iPhones expected from an Apple event today. Monday Night Football, Saints over the Texans, and the Raiders beat the Broncos. And the best viral video you'll hear about all day. That story in about 20 minutes. We're coming to you today from the Dell Studios. Dell's semi-annual sale saves businesses up to 45% on computers with Intel Core processors. Just call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL. Or visit dell.com/businessdeals. He continues to outdistance the rest of the Democratic primary field in most polls, and his head-to-head numbers against President Trump are stronger than anyone else's. No one should be surprised next year if Joe Biden becomes the nominee. David Siders, national political correspondent at Politico, says what is surprising is how many people expect Mr. Biden's campaign to implode at any day. Dave, why the lack of confidence from his own team?
I think there's a lot of anxiety, and maybe two reasons. One is not specific to Biden. I think it's Democrats more generally. After the 2016 election, what do you say? Maybe became a little bit more sober about their own prospects. So there's some of that, but then it's also a little bit about Biden. You have, I think, day after day of undercurrent, I guess, of just a feeling that he can't go wire to wire, and that at some point it's got to fade off. I think what's different about Biden is that while you might expect some candidates to rise and fall, there is some fear that because his candidacy is built so much on the momentum of being the person who can win, the person who can beat Trump, that if he started to fall off in the polls, it could be a bigger collapse, then maybe another candidate might suffer. That being said, none of that's been seen yet. He's the candidate who could be weakened but hasn't been.
Right.
That's the thing.
Somebody in your story said it's really hard to go from June of 2019 to July of 2020 as the leader. So why does it have to fade?
I don't think it does. I think that if we came to the convention next year and Biden was the nominee, we'd all look back and say, geez, what were we even thinking? You know, here was a guy who he was leading in all the polls. His head-to-heads against Trump were stronger than any other Democrats. Of course he was going to be the nominee, and everybody else was a pretender. And I think that is an entirely plausible scenario. I'm not sure that that's what happens, but I do think that that's a possibility.
How about this second ballot strategy that you found somebody was encouraging the Biden campaign to come up with, or the DNC, I guess it was?
Yeah, and I think most serious candidates are starting to think about that, about how to work delegates or the automatic delegates or super delegates in case it does get to a second ballot. What it suggests about, or what that particular case reflects a fear for Biden on, is that he's been the leader, but he's not been the leader at 50+, so 50% plus. And you have these two progressives behind him who, if you add up their support, clearly surpass Biden. So if they continue to run through Super Tuesday, maybe a week after that, Biden might be in the clear. But if they don't, if there's some coalescing of support among progressives, I think that's where you get a real fear for Biden.
Yeah. We're speaking with David Siders, national political correspondent at Politico. He's written a piece entitled "Why Biden's Rivals Are Planning Around His Big Collapse." Perhaps the Biden campaign isn't helping itself. They seem to be tamping down expectations for Iowa, do they not, or am I misreading that?
No, there was some noise last week, and it's possible it was an inartful response from the campaign, or it's possible it was tamping down expectations. I imagine it's a little bit of both. They said they don't think he has to win there. I've heard people say they don't think he has to win in New Hampshire, which is, probably a worse state for Biden than Iowa because of the strength of Warren and Sanders in New Hampshire. I do think Biden's going to be in trouble if he doesn't win in Iowa, though, because he has a huge bank of support in South Carolina. But we know about South Carolinians that they do take some cues from what goes on in Iowa. So I'm not saying he has to win. That's a pretty important state.
Boy, so now that we are beyond Labor Day here, things tend to pick up, I guess. Would there be a change in the Biden campaign strategy?
I don't think yet. No, and I think it's late enough in the game that I think we have some set five, six candidates, or maybe even three or four candidates who are really moving forward here. It's a little bit too early to see change in strategy because we're not late enough in the TV or the spending game to see shifts in spending. And that's really where you start to see what we'd call changes in strategy. Okay. And so I'd expect after Thanksgiving, that's where you'd see, does a candidate pull out of one state and start pushing hard in another? Right now it's the, what do you call it when a football team goes in with like the 100 first plays or whatever set up? I think they're still in that phase.
Thanks, Dave. David Siders, national political correspondent at Politico. It's 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Tuesday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, if you're a Raiders fan who went all in on Antonio Brown when he arrived from the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's been a bumpy road leading up to last night's season opener. Of course, Brown never suited up for the Raiders, instead forcing his way out of Oakland and into the arms of Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. Such a quick exit from the silver and black raises a question for many fans. What do you do with your brand new 84 Brown jersey? We've seen some irate Raiders fans burn the jerseys already, but if you're looking for a way to repurpose your jersey rather than turn it to ashes, there's another solution: duct tape. One fan named Kevin B took to Twitter to share his jersey hack, in which he used duct tape to black out a portion of the number 4 in 84 to make it now look like 81, which instantly turns the Antonio Brown jersey into a jersey for Raiders great and Hall of Famer Tim Brown. All of this ingenuity is necessary due to the return policy at Fanatics.com and the NFL shop, which states that you can trade in your jersey within 90 days if a player is traded. It does not apply to players that that are released, like Brown was on Saturday.
Oh, man. That stinks.
That is unfortunate.
Wow.
And that is the risk you take. And that is why I do not buy player jerseys. In fact, I have only one player jersey of recent vintage in my collection, and it is an Eli Manning jersey. Okay. So that has served me well for the last 16 years.
Sure.
And I will probably never buy another one again, just for reasons like that, especially in football. Players in football, they stick around for a couple years, and they're gone at most.
Yeah. I generally don't wear player jerseys at all. Team jersey or team t-shirts. I don't actually own any jerseys.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just too expensive.
I got burned once by a Ron Dane Giants jersey that I bought back in the early early 2000s. That looked like it was going to be something, and then it wasn't.
Talk about exuberance.
Ron Dane. The Eli one has served me well.
By the way, aren't Raiders fans right now, after last night's win over the Broncos, saying Antonio who?
Yes, that is what they're saying, but with a little few more expletives thrown into the mix, I believe.
Right.
And neighborhood raccoons, Gordon, can be pesky enough, but add alcohol into the mix and you're really asking for trouble. That's what some Canadian residents are saying is happening to them. Residents of an Ontario neighborhood captured photos and videos of some unusually behaving raccoons that experts said were likely drunk from eating fermented fruit. A woman named Emily Rogers said she arrived home Monday to find a raccoon stumbling around oddly in her backyard in Ottawa. Another area resident said an officer came to her door Sunday asking to go into her backyard to look for a raccoon spotted in the area that witnesses said appeared intoxicated. A biology professor says the raccoons are likely getting drunk off of fermented fruit if you spot one of the drunk animals. However, the professor says it's not advisable to plan your own animal intervention or give them some coffee to sober up. Just let the animals sober up on their own or call animal control if you're truly concerned about their behavior.
Mm.
Now, can you imagine, because raccoons, again, ravenous enough on their own, digging through trash cans and all that, can you imagine how ravenous a drunk raccoon might be and how, you know, sort of aggressive they might be towards going after your trash?
Right. I'm just curious about the planning process by the raccoons.
Yes.
What's it going to be tonight, boys? Ready to go garbage can or think we could find some fermented fruit somewhere?
Yeah.
Yeah. What are the Joneses doing on Maple Street?
I got some good fruit over there.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Dell has something extra for small businesses, up to 45% off during their semi-annual sale. It's a perfect time to update to Windows 10 with huge deals on business computers featuring Intel Core processors, plus free shipping on everything. Call small business technology advisors who can help you achieve your business goals affordably with low monthly payments on the right tech for you. Just call 877-BUY-DELL. That's 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/businessdeals for semi-annual savings.
Thanks for being with us. There's new evidence that daytime naps may be linked to a lower risk of heart attack or stroke, but only if they're limited to a few times a week. The research, published yesterday in the journal Heart, is based on data collected from nearly 3,500 people living in Switzerland. NBC News says the lead author and her colleagues tracked the participants for 5 years. All were between 35 and 75, basically healthy without any evidence of heart disease. None were sleep deprived. The frequency of napping varied. 58% said they never took a daytime siesta, while about 1 in 10 said they nodded off almost daily. About 1 in 5 participants hit what the researchers found to be the napping sweet spot, 1 to 2 times per week. It was that occasional nap frequency that was linked to a 48% lowered risk for heart attack, stroke, or heart failure. The length of an individual nap did not appear to influence the findings. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
We're in the Coast Guard has rescued all four trapped crew members from a capsized cargo ship, finding them alive more than a day after the vessel overturned while leaving a port on the Georgia coast. Captain John Reed said responders rescued crew members from a room in the hull near the ship's propeller.
I know it's a lot hotter in that ship than it was for us on the outside, and I'm sure on the outside it was probably pushing 120 or more. Based on what they were feeling.
With all a crew now rescued, the Coast Guard will shift its focus toward removing the ship with minimal environmental impact. North Korea today fired projectiles into the sea hours after Pyongyang said it was willing to hold working-level talks this month with the U.S. Negotiations between Pyongyang and Washington have been gridlocked since a second summit between the North Korean leader Kim Jong-un and President Trump in February ended without a deal. North Korea twice launched unidentified projectiles that flew about 205 miles. The simmering showdown between Prime Minister Boris Johnson and Britain's Parliament over Brexit came to a head as lawmakers delivered three defeats to the government's plans for leaving the European Union before being sent home early today for a contentious five-week suspension of the legislature. Parliament enacted a law to block a no-deal Brexit next month and rejected Johnson's call for a snap election to break the political deadlock. Johnson is sticking with his position.
The UK must come out on October the 31st, by October the 31st, or else I fear that permanent damage will be done in the UK to trust in our democratic system.
Parliament has been suspended now until mid-October. People who are rich live longer. According to new research from the Government Accountability Office, wealthier Americans are more likely to live into their 70s and 80s than people in the middle class and the poor. The report found that more than three-quarters of the richest people who were in their 50s in 1991 to be still alive 23 years later. By comparison, less than half of people in the bottom 20% of income earners live to that age. The findings suggest a statistical correlation between wealth and a longer life, but doesn't conclusively prove that having less money means an earlier demise. But the report does support other research that links wealth and life expectancy.
If you're rich, you know, just living longer because you can afford to, say, be propped up on machines or something in the hospital doesn't seem very appealing either. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Thanks for joining us. A pair of toddler besties spotted each other on a New York City street and immediately rushed toward each other to hug in an adorable moment. Captured on video, the two-year-old boys named Maxwell and Finnegan can be seen running on a tree-lined block, their arms flailing, and then embracing in the now-viral footage posted on Facebook Sunday by a dad named Michael Cisneros. Mr. Cisneros, who is Maxwell's father, told ABC News the boys have known each other for about a year and are inseparable. He says when they're away from each other, they're always asking about one another. He added that they go to a weekly music class together and they love to dance, and both are excellent dancers. More than 14,000 people had seen the heartwarming footage by last evening. It's unclear where and when the footage was taken. One person commented, "That's awesome, and it gives me hope for this world we live in." That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.